You can't do enough just to get by. Forget about it. You ain't going to make it. That's what Jesus is teaching. You see, the ones that had the five foolish, they had oil in their lamps. Their lamps were burning. They had done everything that the preacher said to do. They were, I'm going to put it to you this way, they were saved. You can't, any theologian in the world cannot deny that. They were saved. They had met the requirements. And yet, they weren't ready to meet the Lord. You say, what are we talking about? I think in the main vein of all of this, we're talking about having religion as opposed to having relationship. Say that with me. Having religion as opposed to having relationship. That's why we have divorces. They have a marriage but no relationship. Man, you got to work hard to have a relationship. This lovely grandma and I have lived together 45 years. You say, you must have it made. We still work at it. She's a human being, I'm a human being, and she sees things differently, and I see things differently a lot of time, and you have to work hard at having a spouse relationship. You let that thing get stagnant on you, another, the opposite sex will start looking good to you. You work at having a relationship. You can't have just a marriage, and you cannot have just religion. You've got to work hard at having a relationship with Jesus. And that's where we miss it. That's where we miss it. All right, are you ready for this? All right, here's some statistics that's going to hurt. Where I go to a Jack Hayford's church of 10,000, even Freddie Price's church, where I go to any church, wherever it is, charismatic, a lot of Rhema churches, wherever I go, Public Ken Juniors this morning, wherever it is, I'm talking about charismatics. As far as I'm concerned, the plus sign is by those who teach the faith message. I'm talking about us. All right, whatever church you go to this morning, even this one or any other, less than 50% of those people darken the door of that church except one time a week. And it is getting quiet in here. Come on, let's face the facts, folks. It's time. It's not time to go fishing now. It's time to face some very crucial facts. Not Dr. Hicks. Jesus Christ, our Lord, taught this stuff. He's the one that said they had oil. They had their lamps. They had on the wedding garment. But they didn't make it because they didn't do the extra. Extra. If I had not put that in there, my theology wouldn't stand. It wouldn't stand the scrutiny of the theologians if I didn't put that in there. So I'm not talking about oil now. I'm talking about you have to do the extra to be ready. You got to do it. It's not enough to just have religion. Oh, I don't know. A lot of the churches we go to, I sometimes wonder why the folk even come on Sunday morning. I mean, folk, I've been in this thing a long time. And I could tap them on the shoulder. And I could say to them, where was your imagination while we were worshiping? Huh? Are you really here this morning, brother? Sister? Teenager, are you really here this morning? You have to work at it. You're not saved by works, but you have to work hard at having a relationship. This marriage between us could just as easily fly off into 1,000 pieces at this age as well as it could when we were in our 20s. It's give and take. It's work at relationship. It's work at relationship. I want to work at my relationship with Jesus Christ, my Lord. I want to do the extra. Turn to the 11th chapter. Let's see what we've got going here. I tell you what we're going to do. Pastor, hold that at the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And Pastor, you come, then I'm going to come back and minister another truth. It won't take long, maybe 10 minutes longer. And then I want to minister healing on this truth, okay? So he's going to come in. do something here. Hallelujah. Glory.
Good time for a break.
Let's trust your goodness there to keep us going. Our 11th chapter. Now, when I began to get in to see this parable, the extra, that's what caught my eye. Don't try to take it over to baptism and speaking in tongues. Just, it's extra. And the oil and the word are both taught of in Scripture as being spirit. So if I'm in the Word and in the Holy Spirit, I really cut all my bases. But we're not talking about works that get you to heaven. Are you understand that? We're not saved by works. We're talking about a works that keep you in relationship. If you have to hold your marriage together because you work 8 hours a day, you don't have a very good marriage. Your wife said, the first time you fail to bring a paycheck on, I'm gone. You won't bring it home. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about working in relationships. So we're talking now about working a relationship with our Lord that I want to do the extra. So the Lord took me to the 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians, verse 23, where we have the story of communion. Notice Paul said in verse 23 of the 11th chapter, that I received of the Lord Jesus the same night, and he was betrayed, took bread. And when he blessed it and broke it, he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Then in the same manner likewise, he took also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament of my blood which is shed for you. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you what? Huh? You show the Lord's death till what?
Till he what?
I'd never noticed that. I never noticed that. Now then, Paul, if you had time to do the whole study, which take an hour, Paul jumps all over these Corinthian, born-again, spirit-filled Christians. So he's not talking to the world. He's not even talking to denominational people. He's talking to spirit-filled people. And he said, what you do is you approach what we call the communion table. You approach this, call it a ceremony, call it an act. You approach this unworthily. You don't need to underscore that word unworthily. Now, if you get my book on Obtain the Promises, I have a chapter on here on this, so you get all the Greek and everything there. I just touch on it right now. That is not a pronoun, unworthily. It doesn't refer back to the person. It refers to the elements. You've heard all your life, don't take communion unless you're, if you're backslidden, don't do it. Don't let your kids touch it. Now, most churches down in the South, if you're not a member of that local church, they have closed communion. And that's even worse, the worst thing. Boy, Paul, if they'd done that, Paul would have, the page would still be smoking. Now, how did they treat that? How did they take the Lord's Supper, which is representative as death? How did they treat that unworthily? Well, if you had time to study, you go back and find out that when they got together in the church, they didn't have a little container, little thimble of taking communion, take a sip at a quart. Bless God, if a little bit says, I remember his blood, I'll just take a whole quart. They were getting drunk. And if a little bread would represent his body, bless God, I'll take a whole loaf. Sure tastes better if it had some meat in it. And here, this crowd over here, probably 75% that couldn't afford any wine. They couldn't afford any bread. But they were eating in front of them and looking over and say, you poor people, you're not going to get a bite of this. Can you imagine people doing that in church? So the Lord said, Paul was saying to them, you are treating the elements of the Lord in an unworthy manner. And because you do this, what verse is it now, Mark?
29.
Because you treat it unworthily or in such a disdain manner, for this cause, reason in the New King James, many of you are, what's the first word you are?
Weak.
Now notice, I never noticed that before. A lot of you aren't sick, but you're sure weak.
Yeah.
Very facts. I can't do that anymore. You're weak. There's a difference in weakness and sickness. So you say, oh, I'm healthy this morning. Doesn't mean me. What about weakness? Go to bed tired and get up tired? Sluggish during the day? For this cause, what cause? Not that they weren't saved. Huh? Hey, it comes back to that parable, doesn't it? Not that they were not saved, but you're eating and drinking damnation to yourself. Hey, the word damnation, look it up in the Greek, look it up in English. Damnation is damnation. You put yourself outside the kingdom by the way you approach the Lord's Supper. This causes many are weak and many are sick. Let me tell you about sickness in the Church of Jesus Christ. We have the same percentage of sick people inside the church that's outside the church. The world is no sicker than the church is. Physically sick. That's what this is. Physically sick. Why did he say, not discerning? Because you don't understand. You don't discern the Lord's body. What came forth from his body, the shedding of his blood and the shedding of his flesh. He actually shed his flesh. And this caused many of you die prematurely. Now, Paul is telling the truth. And he's writing on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Do a flip on it. If you do understand. If you do rightly discern what happened at Calvary and at whipping post, if you really understand it, you'll never be weak and you'll never be sick. Or he's not telling the truth. Forget about all the guys that preach whatever they want to preach. Paul is a liar and lied, he claimed, by the Holy Spirit. If you really understand and discern. Now, what is this? It can be the extra. So this is what the Lord said. Start serving yourself to me. I ain't tell you to do it. He told me and Margaret received it because I'm her head. Start serving yourself communion every day. Now Wigglesworth did it. One of the greatest men that ever lived in the 20th century. But I'm not going to do it because he did it. I don't ask you to do it because I did it. But if you start putting two and two together, what extra can you do? Besides remembering his death, burial, and resurrection every day. Every day. Thank you for the lovely motel you put us in last night. Got a good night of rest. Got up this morning, got dressed, had a little quick breakfast there, getting ready to come over here. Just a little cup. It's like a little thing you have jelly in. It's about that wide and about that deep. So she poured some grape juice in it last yesterday before we left. A couple of little pieces of the cracker. So what did we do this morning? We remembered. This day, today, not just when you have communion, we remembered. Hey, thank you, Lord, that you went to the whipping post. That's the body. On his body was laid our diseases and our weaknesses. On his body. And when they whipped him, it wasn't for sins. They whipped him for our diseases. It's like a deviation, a detour. He went by the whipping post first. So that it could be written, then with his stripes were healed. Not just our diseases, our weaknesses. The Bible says Abraham was not weak in the faith. Now, here's what we do in the Protestant church. And I'm not talking about Catholics. I was a Catholic, but I know what happened in Protestant churches. I know what happens in communion. I know what happened with communion in the charismatic churches. Most of them are once a month. If something else isn't scheduled. Am I telling you the truth?
Yeah.
And so when you, this morning, right now, I've been going 5 minutes. Now, you started at 9:30, so you can spend 2 hours in church without quibbling because you'd go 3 hours to a ball game. And you're going to pay to get in that place. You can get your car in the parking lot. What in the world can you do? You can't take your kids and not buy them everything. So let's get everything that is supposed to be. Okay? So this morning, it's a lovely, lovely communion table here with a cloth on it, and I keep on going. You know what you're going to be thinking? Dear Lord, we've got to have communion yet. You know what I even did as a pastor myself? I didn't know what I know now. I just learned this stuff. This is brand new stuff. If we had a long service and the Lord blessed, I just said to the congregation, we'll either take communion next week or we'll take it tonight or come up. You know, just what happens is we don't treat it as worthy of our time. We don't do it. If you can't take communion in the morning and give it time, then take it at nighttime and give it time. Don't just rush into it. The Lord bears witness, you're supposed to take. Begin to take communion, serve it to yourself. I'll tell you one thing about serving it to yourself. You can take the time to do it, and there's no interference of a church service going on. Margaret went the other day, and she said, I didn't realize. We got into the church service. You don't know where you're supposed to hold the bread and hold the cup or drink it and put it back on the tray. Somebody's singing up there. They probably shouldn't be singing. Come on. And you're looking at your watch. She said, I had never noticed before since we started the first of the year serving ourselves communion daily. I had never noticed before how many distractions there were. And really, now, first thing is we don't treat it worthy of our time. Secondly, we don't treat it worthy of our reverence. Powerful stuff here. Now, I'm not going to tell you to run out and get some juice, get some bread. But you better go back and read that again.
Amen.
I believe this. I can tell you this from, I believe 100%. I couldn't have done it three months ago. I might have thought what you think. It'll just get to be commonplace. When making love with your spouse gets to be commonplace, your marriage is over. You may still be living together, but your marriage is over. And when taking communion with our Lord Jesus gets to be commonplace, you've had it. And that's exactly what happened with the five foolish virgins. They didn't do the extra. You've got to work at it to have a relationship with your Lord.
Amen.
I've just had a bright thought. I hope I'm right. If I'm wrong, forgive me, Lord. Margaret brought this up one day. She said, who made that cry? Who made the cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh? What group was that? Somebody was awake.
That's right.
Somebody was awake. Not everybody was asleep. Cool. Glory to God. Maybe it'll be the crowd that every day remembers his death, burial, and resurrection. Maybe that's the crowd. I want you to see something this morning. I believe with all of my heart, if you'll understand and learn, that you can't be sick if he took your sickness. And you cannot be weak if he took your weakness, and you're not going to die prematurely. But your pastor and I, in his study this morning, I'm going to, this thing keeps getting better all the time. You go back to the Greek and you begin to pick up the continuous actions. The word confession, not confess, but confession, is a word that means not yesterday, it means today. Yeah, I confessed him 2 years ago as my Savior. What have you done today? And every time you take communion, it's the only thing you can do that physically confesses. Right quickly, turn to John 6, and we're going to leave you go. Right on the button. John, turn it. This is new to me. I got this. Just this is hot off with a Holy Ghost griddle. What did I say? Turn to John. I saw this. I said, "Well, dear Roy, you've read that. Why didn't you see that before?" That's why the Bible is so wonderful. Now, in John 6:51, it talks about he is the living bread. 48, I'm the bread, the manna. 51, I'm the living bread. See that? Anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. See? Now verse 53. Verily, verily, most assuredly, New King James, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Look at the next verse. 54. Whosoever. Everybody say whosoever.
Whosoever.
Say, that's me.
That's me.
Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life.
Amen.
Zoe. And I will raise him up when? That's what we're talking about.
Glory.
For my flesh is food indeed. I get goosebumps reading this. You getting goosebumps? And my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, there's that word abides. That's not Sunday stuff. That's daily. How in the world can you read this and not go daily communion? I don't know. Abides in me, and I am him. My word abides means today, not yesterday. And you go back to see where we started in the communion message. Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do prove that you still believe in me. Extra. Had a lady the other day, came back for evening service. Came by the book table, said, Dr. Hicks, I did it. I went by that little 7-Eleven store and I bought myself some grape juice and crackers. She said, I never realized the experience I would have. Now, you won't always have that experience every day, but she said, I've never had a spiritual experience. Not Dr. Hicks and not your pastor, and don't let the Roman Catholic Church throw you on transubstantiation. But Jesus said, if you'll drink this and if you'll eat this, my flesh, my blood, let me tell you exactly what happens in this. It's not transubstantiation. You're not going to pray over it and make it his flesh. If he did, he'd have to die all over again. Okay. So you take it, it's going to be cracker, it's going to taste like cracker. You take it, it's going to be grape juice, and I don't recommend wine. From the standpoint, Americans can't handle wine. Europeans can, we can't. So you take that grape juice, and it's going to taste like grape juice. If it gets a little strong, it's going to taste a little strong. Just a little bit. So you take it, but the Father says in heaven to your angel, look. Look what they're doing there. They are eating my son's flesh and they are drinking his blood. And Jesus says, yes, and because they're doing it, they have my life in them. Understand? Hallelujah! We worship you, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, we must be getting close. Jesus, Lord God. Oh, forgive us for our ignorance. Forgive us for our dozing. Lord, we dozed too long. Spiritually speaking. Oh, God. We don't want to be among the 5%. I mean, the 50%, the 5 foolish. They just did enough to get by, and it didn't get them by. Lord, my heart goes out even to charismatics this morning to those who never darken the door but once a week are just getting by, but they're not getting by. And something happens. According to your word, Lord Jesus, only 50% of those who think they're ready are going to go up. Lord, oh God, forgive us. Oh, dear Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us for resenting the time sometime we spend in your house together with your people. Forgive us for the time we've rushed through and hurried through remembering your death, burial, and resurrection at communion service because we want to get home, want to keep the appointment at the restaurant or something. God, forgive us. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. Forgive us for not working at that relationship, just like a man and woman has to work at their relationship to have a good marriage. We want a good marriage with you. We're going to do it daily. Forgive us. But every head is bowed and no one's looking around. Your pastor, not even your spouse, not even mom and dad know you. But Jesus knows you. He knows everything you've ever said. Must be computers in heaven. Every word we ever uttered, never thought that we dwelt upon, is all recorded. And Lord, we don't want to face that on the judgment day. We want the slate clean. Daily. Daily. If there's somebody here, they just say, I want God, not even Pastor Ray nor Roy Hicks to see my hand necessarily. I want God to see my hand. I have neglected my relationship with my Lord, and I know it. And I want him to forgive me. Just put your hand up so he can see you. Thank you for honesty. Hallelujah. Let's all put our hands up and say this. Let's make this a confession. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That I have light.
That I have light.
On the death, burial, and resurrection.
On the death, burial, and resurrection.
Of your Son.
Of your Son.
I have received him.
I have received him.
And confessed him.
And confessed him.
And I do so now.
And I do so now.
And I repent.
Of my religion.
Going for days.
Going for days.
And neglecting my relationship.
And neglecting my relationship.
With you, Lord Jesus.
With you, Lord Jesus.
And with the Father through you.
And with the Father through you.
If you'll forgive me.
If you'll forgive
me. And help me.
And help me.
That's not going to happen again.
That's not going to happen again.
Whatever I need to do.
Whatever I need to do.
To do the extra.
To do the extra.
I want to be ready.
I want to be ready.
I don't want to miss it.
I don't want to miss it.
Like the five.
Like the five.
Who were met at the door.
Who were met at the door.
By the King of Kings.
By the King of Kings.
And said, you cannot enter here.
And said, you cannot
enter here. Oh, we don't want to hear that.
We don't want to hear
we
that.
We want to be ready.
We want to be ready.
For we believe you're coming soon.
We believe you're coming soon.
Thank you for your forgiveness.
Thank you for your forgiveness.
Now I turn to you, Satan.
Now I turn to you, Satan.
The stealer of the seed.
This is one seed.
You're not going to steal. For in the name of the Lord Jesus,
I rebuke you and bind you.
And I promise with Almighty God,
I'm
going
to take advantage of this teaching
and have a daily relationship with you, Lord Jesus,
and with you, Father,
through the Lord Jesus. Now applaud his name. Applaud his name. Applaud his name. His name. His name is above every name. And we recognize that this morning. We applaud the name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe, Pastor, the Lord heard our prayer.
Please turn the tape over at this time.